Hi, everybody. Welcome to FNS Wrestling Podcast. Bonus episode, I guess. It's happening.
We're going to do it. You were almost right.
Took us till March, but we... Mid-March?
Pretty much. Pretty smack dab in the middle.
But we are going to discuss the FNS worst of 2023 in the world of wrestling. I think this year it was mostly my fault.
It was definitely your fault.
And then, so the only way I think it was partly you was because I did have it done for a couple weeks and you were like, oh, you already have it done.
Yeah, and we'll do it, and then we didn't do it, but then we'll do it.
But now it's going to come in handy because we're hoping not to miss a weekly episode, but we might. So in lieu of that, this will be
there. Well, we are, but like, I don't know. We'll have some supplements. Depending on how it goes, I guess at the time of release, I'll be absent.
Because, yes, and so we may be an abridged version, right?
Off in a faraway land.
But we'll see. At least we'll have this. So we're going
to... This will be for sure a supplement, and then we'll see what else transpires.
Video's back, a little bit brighter for Grandpa. That was his feedback. Brighter, want to see more of us. I was like, I don't think anyone else does, but...
That's one person.
We'll honor his request and see how this goes.
So. Yeah.
Figuring out a video setup that works for us, slightly different audio setup. So we'll see how that sounds. But anyways, that's fun for me. At some point in our podcast, I'm going to start adding like the mic check, and I'm going to tell people the stuff I'm using right at the end. So that if there's any people like me who are always like, I wonder what mics, I wonder what interface or whatever they're using. So if you're listening to this,
so pretty much just bark.
Yeah, just bark. I usually let him know if I'm doing anything interesting, but there's got to be people out there like me that wonder these things.
Out of the 30, yeah, probably like one.
30 on, between platforms, it's more than 30 people. Okay,
so maybe across platforms we'll have like two.
Two people.
Well, two.
So we're going to do similar format, I think, we did to Best Of.
For those who remembered, like the 2 months ago we did that.
Because you put in a lot of legwork on that. So I think same thing, like you'll give us the nominees and whatever.
This
and
is where then, I prove my worth.
And that's right. And then your choice.
Yeah.
And then my choice basically I agree with him.
This one's not as fun, but... I mean, it is, but it also isn't.
Yeah, because it's been a while now, but...
Well, yeah, that's that too. Like, I'm a little ingrained into 2024 stuff now, so
smart,
it's like...
Smart marketing by us. We knew everyone else's worst ofs will be out and out of the way, and just when
now
you're ready for another
one,
boom, here we come.
Just when you're out of 2023, it's just, boom, we hit you.
So I was going to say that we combined all rosters again this year, because you don't watch NXT.
Not enough.
Neither of us watch a lot of WWE other than pay-per-views.
Although I'm picking PLEs. Up a little more this year for sure, but that's irrelevant.
Yeah, you were just watching some.
Yeah, Drew McIntyre is
I've been watching
fantastic.
Raw like half of it or two-thirds lately as well. Just
yeah, I'm just peeping stuff that interests me. And then obviously I already have a SmackDown match that made my shortlist, which
right.
is crazy.
Shocking.
Yeah.
And then the categories pretty much correspond directly to best of
the
year.
We tried our best, yeah.
To match up a worst for the best. And then you're going to have your unofficial honorary awards speed round.
If you want to chime in, feel free. But okay. I just like to amuse myself.
So go ahead, do that now.
We'll rhyme it off. Okay, worst new name of year, I picked Out the Mud, because that was just... That's one of those ones that we gave crap right away.
Can't disagree with you on
yeah.
that one.
Identity Fraud Award, it goes to Butch, which has since been... corrected
it has
this year, which will come up at the end of this year
at the best of it's gonna
rest assured it will I will mention it
I'm pretty sure
in some form or fashion. Worst ring gear, I went with either Scripps because his was horrible.
Scripps
Street Profits from Fastlane, mainly Dawkins because his heel gear was horrible, or Baron Corbin's NXT workout gear.
Okay, that was rough, but nothing is worse than Scripps.
That's
gear.
Fair okay.
It hasn't been for years, decades, maybe. It was so bad though, like
especially the initial look
from top to bottom.
Yeah, I know.
From T to B, if you watch
the good.
League.
Wrestler with the best barber, and I do mean best in air quotes, it goes to Lexus King.
Apparently it's Mello's barber.
It is Mello's barber, so I guess Mello too, but Mello doesn't show it.
But if you're trying to appear like a douchebag, I mean...
Yeah, but the initial look for him was rough.
Just the tight lines around the beard is a lot for people. I think it's funny at
the
this
2023
point.
Creativity Award goes to WWE's Undisputed titles, the women's and the WWE Universal one, because... Mm-hmm. They're the same design they've used since 2014. Honorable mention to their stages, though, because every show that's not in a big stadium venue, they'll use that same big fat screen over and over and over.
They will.
So we love it. Sponsorship under the radar was Pizza Hut from Fastlane.
Under the radar?
Yeah, that was horrible. Yes. Some of these are not serious.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, that one was bad.
Very worst over the radar.
Worst return, Nia Jax. I think that's really come true this year, too. Because she returned
to the
23 Rumble.
It's not a bad choice.
So, worst signing, Ric Flair.
Agree.
2023 Shark Jump, the Bloodline.
It's going to come up for me in this, actually, mm-hmm. which is weird to think because it was so amazing.
Drama Queen of the Year. I didn't pick Toni Storm. I took Mr. Phil Brooks.
Nice. I thought you might.
Mm-hmm. My favorite one I think I came up with is the 2023 Quad of Sand Award goes to Shane McMahon from WrestleMania because that was awesome. I think that popped in my head like as soon as that happened. Worst at Their Own Finisher goes to Chris Jericho. I think What Dar does it better. Nick Jackson did it better on a one-off, and Andrade. So that's three people.
You missed Longest Story of the Year.
Oh, yeah. Longest Story of the Year goes to Cody Rhodes.
Yes.
And that beats out Jazz. So.
And is he going to finish it this year? Who knows?
That still makes it the longest story.
I think so. Oh, yeah. Easily.
Worst Entrance one-off was Jericho performing his own theme at All In.
That was rough.
Abysmal.
Yep.
Worst Belt of the Year, and to preface this, it's the worst belt introduced. That would be the New Japan World TV title. It's the ugliest belt known to man. It's that rectangular monstrosity that Zack Sabre Jr. carried around all year. Yeah, it's one of the worst belts I've ever seen. It gives the Divas title a run for its money.
And I always throw in Jeff Hardy's TNA one.
The Immortal Belt, designed. Yeah. That one's bad. But the New Japan TV title is ugly. It's so ugly. And ending off, because I think we ended off at the high spot of the year. This is the Wrestle of the Year, the worst spot of the year. Not a literal wrestle, but it was the Code Blue from that Sky Blue Red Velvet match, because that match was bad.
It was.
From what I remember now, it's been too long.
It has been too long. And I didn't want to go back and rewatch any of them. That's part of the problem with worst stuff, unless you know it's short.
Unless it's like something really bad, like the Texas Chainsaw crap.
Oh, we won't have our list of who we chose last year, but that's okay.
Oh, yeah, that's
A detail we'll circle back around to for 2024, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get into our major awards here, starting with our first category, which is Worst Commentator, and then you go from there. I'll do categories, you're everything
else. Booker T, JR, and Vic Joseph.
If anyone that regularly or sporadically listen to us, you know where this is going.
I'm taking Booker T. I don't even watch NXT much, but he says so many stupid things, and he's annoying. Like 90% of the time, he actively makes some things worse for me, like Trick Williams' entrance. Like, I think
Correct. The
crowd enhances his entrance, and Booker T drags it back down. JR's a downer sometimes for sure, but Booker's the worst around.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of JR in his current form, but he's starting to be used sparingly at this point, right? And he doesn't...
For sure.
Compare to my winner anyways. It's Booker T. It's not close. I have to watch him every week. You're just kind of in the room some weeks for bits
I still
and
hate
parts,
him.
And you pick up on how annoying he is. So I don't find anything redeeming in what he does. He detracts more than he adds, I think, what you were kind of saying too. And I see him as the front runner for this award for like years,
pretty much
years
always.
To come. As long as he's doing this job, he's going to be a nominee, I would think.
Maybe this year you could give an honorable mention to Byron Saxton because he was on NXT.
He was on a few times, but so they all pair in comparison to Booker. Congrats. I'm sure he won last year if he was.
He did. He definitely did. Yeah. I know he did. I'm pretty sure I said this exact same thing.
Yeah, so. We just copy and pasted.
I could have, honestly. I genuinely could have.
You could have. Next category will be Worst Entrance.
This is like just on a general basis, not because I did the one-off one, but this is like thinking on a general basis. Because I think we took Swerve for the best, I think.
I think so too.
It was either Swerve or I don't remember what the other one was. But
I think we nominated probably Bulk Metaphor.
Gold, right. So it might have been Metaphor, Bulk of Gold, like the gun spotlight thing, which is a front runner for this year already, especially with the new theme. And then I think it was Swerve. But for worst stuff, we got Jack Perry with his heel turn entrance with the Beethoven theme. And just like
it was not.
It was
not
ill-fitting.
Connect.
And like, not even like a way where it's like, haha, like Nick Jackson, it's so stupid. It just didn't work.
I hate this. Like I'm supposed to hate it. It was just like, this doesn't
just
seem to fit.
Jericho, Judas has overstayed its welcome. And it's boring at this point. And he's just, I don't know. His is not good. Jey Uso, I think, is mid because his theme is a ripoff of the Uso's theme. And then the crowd is so lame. Like, I don't
like
it.
It feels that you just like tacked it on. You wanted something for
and
them to do.
I didn't
so
like eat. Whatever. I don't know. His
the opposite of organic
him.
Sort of thing.
And Drew McIntyre with the sword. I do think he's kind of stopped it, but I'm not 100%
I was just
going
to ask you if he's gotten away.
I feel like he has to now because he's just... Like, it's stupid.
Because I've been watching his promos and stuff, but not
so
necessarily
cool.
His entrance.
Yeah, and Keanu James with, like, the helicopter thing.
It's a little bit cheesy, honestly.
Yeah. Honorable mention to the Jericho's entrance with the Judas sing-along. It's overrated now, and the one-off at All In was horrible. And honorable mention to the sword, but I'm going to take Jack Perry because the Beethoven theme was so lame. The Blackout Trons lacked personality. Like, it was just the least effort you could have put into the heel turn. It really didn't help him because it was just a boring Beethoven theme and then his trons were literally just blacked out. Like it lacked anything and it just kind of made his heel turn worse than it already was. It was kind of dead on arrival.
It was. I pay less attention to these details than you do. So like your pick's probably more meaningful here than mine, but I've been tired of Jericho's entrance for a while. Like,
that's fair.
It was hot for a little bit, and then it just got to be...
I think it got hot off the back of the Cruz one, because that was the first time I remember people singing along, and that was cool, because that felt organic.
Again, organic. The whole crowd sang the whole thing. But
now it's like, I feel like it's not like they're forcing it, but I feel like just because it's become a thing, the crowd feels like they have to.
And we're also in the era of everybody's theme song has something for someone to chant now. So it also like...
Yeah, there's Rollins, there's Cody, who's with the
they
Whoa.
They honestly feel like they're designing to have opportunities
Nakamura
for these.
Back in the day.
They're doing Trick Williams now, Williams. Right?
That one's... Yeah, like some of them, I don't know.
But anyway, I'm... He wins here. I just... suffering from major Jericho fatigue. I think you are as well,
for sure.
We keep saying like, just go on your hiatus, man.
Honestly,
reinvent yourself as a manager.
I don't even want to. I don't just no. No, thank you. I'm good.
Yeah.
Honestly, this year in 2024, I'm off the top of my head, I'm thinking he could be a front runner for worst male wrestler because it's getting that point for me.
He's rough.
I feel like there was like 2022 and before you could make a case for like he's still doing good enough for his age. Yeah. But like, as we go on, I feel like we're crapping on him more and more and liking him less and less, and there's just more to dislike. And especially, I think he dragged Takeshita to one of my least favorite matches of this year so far.
And that's not easy to do because Takeshita's amazing.
One of my favorites. So just off the top of my head, I'm definitely considering him for this year's worst of.
Yep, he's in the running for sure. Next, we go to worst non-wrestling performer.
Mm-hmm. We got Ava from NXT, Johnny Bravo from Impact, and Kieran Jarrett of AEW. So we're all over the board here.
We had trouble finding...
It is a hard place to classify. So I guess there's not like a lot of horrible managers, I feel like.
Like, I don't mind even Robert Stone, what he's doing. Like,
he's
doesn't
right.
bother me.
But he's not even bad enough to the point where it's like, oh, I hate him.
Now, Ash's valet in TNA is a front runner for 2024 right now for me. But yeah, not a ton, which is good because that means we don't hate a lot of valets.
But there's
and
also
managers
just not a lot
stuff.
That are notable, I guess. And most of them are
I think one is.
Good. Yeah, I'm taking Ava. Didn't like anything I saw from the schism. She cannot talk. She's about as good as Miles Bourne on the mic. And she didn't add anything to them. And then the random authority role in NXT is also confusing and not great.
No, it's less bad, but it's still bad. And don't get me wrong, Johnny Bravo does nothing for me. And I feel like he's kind of hurt Dango since he... Because I kind of liked Dango, right, when he was doing the whole I hate pro wrestling. But then as soon as Johnny Bravo or whatever he's going by joins him, it's comedy now, right? And it's not as interesting to me. But you're right. It's Ava for me in this category as well. She gets lots of opportunity to speak and a couple of opportunities to wrestle and neither went well. But because she is who she is, mm-hmm. child of a legend, they need to keep developing her. So I think it was like, here's the spot where she can hurt us the least.
And yet it still hurts so much.
And Dad is now on the board as well. So that's even more of a factor, right? So she probably she shouldn't be anywhere near TV. And we're not hard on people usually, right? But no, she's not ready for TV by any metric, I don't think. So she wins pretty easily for me.
Next one.
Oh, yes. It is our biggest regression. So step back from 2022, either positioning, talent, however you interpret that, right?
In any facet.
Right, that they went backwards in this 2023 year.
We got Wardlow, Ty Valkyrie, the Hardys, and Mr. Phil Brooks, CM Punk.
And I put in-ring question mark mostly. Maybe
in the promos because he just lacks bite.
Yeah.
But honorable mention to Ty Valkyrie because we used to have a pretty solid opinion of her, and now it's the complete opposite. I feel like it's possible to redeem herself, but I don't know.
It's funny because we have those conversations where sometimes on air, right, where we're like, is she good?
Right? Yeah. Like, we thought she was, right?
Is she like, good? And we're like, I don't think she's good.
Yeah, and looking at your pick, I will give an honorable mention to the Hardys too, but honestly, they've regressed for some time, so it wasn't even in my brain.
Right. I just feel like there was a cliff.
Whereas I feel like Taya could redeem herself, I can't see the same for Wardlow. Last year when they ran the feud, or I guess not last year, but... would have been 2022 now.
I think so.
When they ran the feud between him and MJF, they did like the Batista Triple H style angle pretty well, and everyone was hyped on Wardlow. Even we were enjoying it, and they got everyone on board with him. They had to strike while the iron's hot. They gave him the TNT title, which felt like the right move, because I didn't think he was quite world title ready. And so, like, that felt like a decent way to capitalize on that. He had a couple of solid matches, but far too many powerbomb squashes like he had before he beat MJF. It just became too much of that. He traded the title to Joe and Hobbs for no reason. One of his reigns lasted 3 days last year.
Right.
I used to think he could be taken to a good match with someone, but the best he can do is fine, and he's cooled off tenfold for me. He's boring as a character. His style in the ring doesn't captivate me at all anymore, especially when they give him these squashes that are the same thing every week and every week. And then towards the end of 2023, he would do promos that were the same thing every week and every week. He'd have these matches where he'd end by referee stoppage for some reason, so leading me to coin the term death by powerbomb.
Yes.
Because it's just ridiculous. I used to think he had bigger potential, because I think, like, this regression used to it hits for me, because I used to think he had potential. But now I just don't want him on TV at all, let alone anywhere near the world title. He went from, like, somewhat to me to being probably one of my least favorites that they feature on AEW. I just don't have time for him anymore. And especially now in 2024 in the Undisputed Kingdom, it's just not... Right. He's my least favorite part of the group. In a group with the Kingdom, he's probably still my least favorite part.
They heated him up red hot, and then they let him cool for so long that we're not interested in seeing him back in, like, any form, really, right?
No, so. There's no way I want to see him, and he's just... not someone I need there anymore. And we've been campaigning for WWE to take him.
Correct. He's perfect
like that
for them.
Makes more sense.
So there have been a few people this year that we've asked, like I said, like, is this person good, right? I think Ruby Riott was there, Wardlow, Taya, Thunder Rosa.
Out of those four, I probably have the highest standing on Ruby Soho, and even then it's not by a wide margin.
Right, like, she can be a part of your roster, you know.
And yeah, I'm not taking any of the other three.
But my choice is a team that's regressed due to age. Like you said, it's been happening, but I feel like it went over a cliff this year.
I definitely think so, because I feel like people who defend the Hardys, I feel like a lot of people took notice last year.
Yes, they went from, like, must-see act in their prime, I used to love the Hardys, to a team that, like, I groan, you groan, and I'm supposed to
Jeff
care
Hardy
for...
Jeff Hardy had, like, two singles matches this year, and we both complain.
I'm supposed to care for nostalgia, and you're supposed to care because you're seeing legends you didn't get to see. Neither of us feel that way, right? They've lost at least a couple steps.
The face paint factor has worn off for me, too.
And neither of them, especially Jeff, have done anything interesting character-wise in years. Like, if they were just gone from AEW, would anybody really notice?
No, just get them on Legends deals in WWE, pump out action figures and crap, and leave it be.
And this is exactly the type of talent that I think, and I've been saying forever, AEW needs to avoid and get rid of if you have it.
Yeah, I feel like Edge and Christian both have made cases to stay. Like, more so Christian, because I think Christian is fantastic right now. But even Edge,
he's bringing value. So what value are these guys bringing?
Even Edge, I see some value in. And, like, he can go decently, and he's having, like, the end of the road thing with Christian. So that's fine. Like, we don't love Edge, but I have some time for him because I think he's solid. But the Hardys bring absolutely nothing to the table for me.
And they're taking up spots that younger, fresher for me, which is what I care about, people could be.
Why did Jeff Hardy have to wrestle Swerve and Mox this year? Right. Like, that makes zero sense to me.
So they are my biggest regression this
year. That's a great pick, though.
Next category is worst feud of 2023.
Mm-hmm. We got Cole Jericho, which is saying something because I love Adam Cole. Outcast versus Originals, which is just encompassing that whole shebang, which is mostly what Outcast versus Baker and Hayter.
That was a long run as well.
Yeah, and Starks versus Jericho. Mm-hmm. Honorable mentions to either Jericho feud, particularly that really disappointing lights out match, Double or Nothing, between Cole and Jericho.
Yeah,
that was really the one with Sabu for some reason.
And we say it all the time, he doesn't help young people that he's
didn't
working
even help
with.
Cole. That right? honestly. Got
it
Cole's
almost holds Starks
it.
Back a little too,
it
you know?
Did. That was a lame feud. Yeah, babyface Starks might have had more potential.
This will be this 2023 remembers the year of us just dumping on Jericho in the worst of.
I think he's earned it.
He's coming up here a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I see another one already.
Yep.
My least favorite feud of the year by far has to be Outcaster's Originals. Call it a feud, call it a storyline, whatever you want to call it. It's my least favorite thing either way. I thought it classified more as a feud here, so it gets the hate here. It's something we regularly dislike, dare I say hated, on a weekly basis. It's probably one of my least favorite things AEW's done in recent memory, maybe all time. The feud between Saraya and Britt Baker was lame, but wasn't like worst tier shit. But, like, then we came to Hayter versus Storm was also lame. And then it just, put it all together. And you get this. You get that three-way revolution where Soho turned after, which was lame. Remember, they were like, is she going to join Outcast for Originals? I'm like, she's an Outcast. She joined from WWE. Like, right. We knew she was going to join the Outcast.
The definition you've provided us, basically.
It was always going to happen. Yeah. Every segment between these groups was pain, mainly the Outcast, but still either way. But the benefit of Hayter's injury was she got to escape from this.
Mm-hmm.
There was like a couple times where Soraya would cut a babyface-ish promo for no reason.
Yes.
But like, we hate her, so right. It doesn't make sense.
No.
The spray painting L's was lame.
Oh my God. I forgot about the spray paint.
It was like the worst. I didn't like their theme
Rascals
either.
Rascals went back to it on the pay-per-view. They went back to the spray paint.
Yeah, like, because it involved the Outcast, it's got to be the worst feud. And believe me, we are not done with the Outcast here.
No, they. If you listen to us, you know they'd be coming back around.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So, Jericho is now famous for having never-ending feuds that are barely entertaining. But I agree with you, nothing he did was worse. Just to mention him again.
He is very lucky the Outcast existed last year. Otherwise, he would, because he's got the other two nominations here.
Yeah, and I can't disagree with you. This was the Outcast Originals feud worst thing this year.
It was, I hated it so
much. I think AEW really overestimated the draw of Soraya.
I think part of what killed the women's division, which, I mean, it hasn't been, like, great. But, like, I feel like even 2022 to 2023, there was definitely a drop-off. And last year, we had it hot-potatoing between Hayter, Storm, Shida, Soraya, Shida, Storm. Like, Shida had it twice for no reason, which was a huge disservice to Shida, by the way.
We complain about that all the time.
Because Shida's great. She deserves better.
She's we have no plans.
Storm, I get it person. Was because of Hayter, but, like, she kind of bogged on the title because her reign was lame. And Soraya won it for no reason, just to win it all in. Like, that was lame.
Well, and Soraya was coming back to kickstart the division and elevate
it. She didn't do anything. And she's the Jericho of the division.
I think people didn't care as much as they thought. I think she wasn't as good in ring as they were hoping, and so, but they committed to this still for far
too
long.
One of those things,
right?
Where you have to like kind of invest still.
It never became anything more than like an annoyance for us on weekly television, basically. So yep, that is also my,
it was an annoyance at best,
worst feud of 2023. Now we go to worst storyline, so different from feud. So we got
strictly the story, which could encompass matches, but like it doesn't have to be a feud.
Not necessarily, right? It's a whatever we want it to be. So there's a few nominees here for that one.
We got Callis trying to recruit who? Chris Jericho.
No, thank you.
Kreese hiding in the schism.
Yeah.
Which I remember because I was like,
oh, yeah.
I knew that right away and it was so blatantly obvious.
That's
it
a good
so
one because I would have forgotten about that.
That
it
one's
was
so
rough.
Dumb. The ex-Jazz issues and the Parker Soho romance, which was like, because basically Jazz stayed together afterwards and also they're turning on Jericho because Jericho was going to join with Callis and then he didn't. Like, that's kind of involved with the Callis recruiting thing, which was... And then the Parker Soho romance, which is stupid.
Still going on, question mark?
And it's a storyline that involves Jazz and the Outcast, two of my least favorite factions of all time. The Bloodline, after they jumped the shark.
I think so.
I think pre-Mania Bloodline was still really good because it was still Sami Zayn.
Yep.
And he was being with them and, like, changing me.
But
I think
that's
that
early
was really
in the
good.
Year, so that's, like... 8 months of not good.
So yeah, I'd say post WrestleMania Bloodline specifically,
right?
Or like even just post Sami Zayn Bloodline, because he still feuded with them a little, right? So
right.
Post Sami Zayn Bloodline, we'll say Mickey James Last Ride and Eric Young won't die.
That was a late addition. Kill him and he comes back, and I forget what the explanation was. You didn't kill me. He got up and like walked off. Anyways,
yeah, just that.
Go ahead.
Honorable mention anything with the Outcast,
of course.
And I guess to the Bloodline falling off, because what a saga that was, and still is, kind of. I think my pick for this has to be the Callis Jericho storyline, because it was a major part of TV for many weeks, and it was evolving a faction that we really liked, because Callis' group was great. But the whole point, the reason it's the worst for me is because the whole point was this intrigue of Jericho joining this group, and the entire time I was begging for them to not do that.
Right.
In fear of what damage it could do to Takeshita or anyone else in that group. Like, the whole point was that, like, we're supposed to be excited about, ooh, Jericho could join this cool heel group and, you know, run AEW with them or whatever. And I was at my knees begging for them to
both
not
of us.
Do it.
Yes.
On top of the segment where the story climax was a rare misfire for Callis, and it's quite frankly dumb, the one where like Jericho agreed to join, but then Callis had the painting because he thought Jericho would say no.
Oh, yeah.
And so they turned on each other, and then Ospreay came in. Like, it tied up Ospreay with Jericho all in, which robbed me of what should have been the finale to the Ospreay Omega trilogy. Mm-hmm. And now Omega's gone for who knows how long.
Jericho used to be my favorite wrestler in the world, and now it's like whatever he touches, I like less than I did before he touched it.
Yeah.
Right?
Everything he touches turns to horse crap.
Yeah, it's not my favorite. So, and even though, and I'm not just throwing WWE hate here, because the reason I am giving this to the Bloodline story is because I was so
it was
into
something
it for
that
a while.
Got us to watch,
it pulled me in from not watching WWE, and then it was so fresh and performers involved were killing it for me. Sammy's involvement was like peak. He was amazing. Everybody was amazing.
I think Sammy will be remembered for that. So that's
then awesome. As time went by, less interested, and I was like still watching but not really enjoying it, and then paying less attention and just getting caught up on clips and highlights and listening to other people. And just it loses more marks, I guess, to say, because it's omnipresent, right? It's constantly on. It's a huge part of every episode.
The major jumping the shark point was when Jimmy turned on Jay at SummerSlam, because that made no sense right. to anybody.
No.
Because he just got beaten up by the Bloodline, and the whole thing was like, they both hate Roman, then now Jimmy's just back in the Bloodline. Like, it really doesn't matter now.
It's like they felt they had to keep putting stuff out there because it was a huge segment or multiple every week, and it just, I don't know, it went from like the coolest thing in wrestling, and I say that as a person who doesn't watch WWE, to like a slog, and it's yeah. constant for months and months and months. So that's why it wins this for me. Mm-hmm. Probably a controversial opinion, but that's what I'm here for, I guess. Next award, least interesting storyline in real life. So now looking outside
real news story
of,
or something like
right.
that. First one is the first collision being in Chicago and CM Punk's return announced. That's not just bias, but like, I didn't care. And it, mm-hmm. it just seemed kind of right based on the rumors. And like, we knew it was coming, and it really, I just hated it. Randy Orton's return, not interesting. And like, it just never really interested me.
Yeah. Though
multiple times rumors came up. Punk return rumors. I hate him.
I like, we'll just boil that down to the main point. I hate him. Got it.
The TKO merger, because yep. really, who cares?
It should be.
It doesn't matter.
But
it just
yeah,
not, it doesn't
I know.
Matter. Vince being gone and then back. No thanks. I actually, we can boil that down to I hate him.
Fair.
A weird one, like, so I'm taking Randy Orton as my least interesting, because as much as I hate Punk, anything that involves him is immediately of more interest than Randy Orton. Because it's because of how much I hate him.
Yeah.
Yes, it's not interesting to me, but like my hate for him is inherently an interest.
Right. Like, you can't be indifferent to it.
Yeah. Well, with Orton, I never really missed him on TV.
Agreed.
I couldn't care if he was gone or not. If he had retired, I wouldn't have bat an eye. So it doesn't matter. The Punk return was close, but I genuinely didn't think that would happen. Whereas the Orton return, I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's going from genuine least interest, it's probably Orton.
And he came back looking great, right? Clearly had gotten himself in
amazing
shape.
Fine,
didn't care. Orton is boring as hell, and there's zero it's because I think part of it is, you know, there's zero chance that he's going to come back 1% different.
At least at this stage of his career, he's past the point of reinvention.
He never has been. He's the same face or heel, I would argue. I would argue Randy Orton has one
character. Last time he was different was probably 2009.
One character that just sort of shifts a little bit one way or the other. But anyways, it's probably technically one of the biggest stories of the year for me. The TKO merger was nothing at all that caught my interest.
Oh, yeah. It really doesn't affect
it's just,
us.
It's huge, I guess, but it's the business side of things. So for me, it was the least interesting. I tried to care, and I do listen to some shows that discuss the business of wrestling, but I don't know, just was not of interest to me. But yet, I guess it is, in reality, a huge story. But for me, not interesting. All right, next award, getting into some of the personal ones now. Worst on the mic. So worst speaker this year, some definite worthy nominees.
This is a near exclusive NXT category.
Which makes sense, because that's where they're sort of, it's the PC, the performance center, they're learning in
theory.
I feel
like we could have thought a couple of AEW ones, but on the top of my head, it's not
a couple of these nominees should have learned by now as well.
Von Wagner, Miles Bourne, Ava, Dijak, and Saraya. Honorable mentions go to Von Wagner, the human charisma vacuum, and Ava for just being horrible and not sound TV ready. And I really hate to give this to him, because I think it's partially not his fault, but Miles Bourne is just brutal. Whatever speech impediment he has really doesn't number on any potential he has. Anytime I've heard him speak, it's tough to get through. And I do feel bad for the dude, because I think it's part inexperience and part not
very
his fault with whatever his deal is. So
sure.
I don't mean to be too mean about this, but he's just brutal, man. And I can't. Like, it's good he's in that group with No Catch.
And I told you they cut him down to two words last
week. They cut
week.
Him, yeah. So it says a lot about Wagner, Ava, that they come close, though, because they have been there
rough.
For a bit. Especially Wagner. He's been there since he was chopping trees with Kyle O'Reilly.
So Wagner almost has leaned into it, so that makes me hate it less, because it's like this, the tone of his stuff with Stone is almost like he doesn't have to be a good actor. Mm-hmm. So but he is rough still. So deserving nominees for sure, but I gave it to Ava. She doesn't sound that comfortable at all in the role, and she has some sort of speaking issue too that I can't quite put my finger on, but makes it hard to listen. And then they've like promoted her to a place where her sole job is to speak now. Like that's all she's going to do. Which and she's going to be,
is that the plan?
She's going to be a somewhat regular appearance, right? She's pretty much on every week now in some capacity. So that I think unless something changes, she's a front runner for 2024 as well for me. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on to next category, which will be worst character or lack thereof, I think is some of the issues for you.
Yeah. First one's Chris Dylander, who doesn't have one.
Every time he sees or hears her name, he says, "What is your gimmick?"
Yeah, because I like her.
She's awesome.
I think she's great, but that's why it angers me so much. Because it's like her and Sheeta need a thing because they're good.
Yes.
They just need a thing.
Yes. And I think there's even more that need a thing. Like,
but those are like some of the best ones that need a thing. At least Willow has a thing.
Yes. She's just babyface.
She's like Bailey. Old Bailey. Chris Jericho, because half the time you can't stick to one and they all suck. Dana Brooke, extreme Dana Brooke, which I'm making the comparison to Serious Kushida and Jeans. It's like the same kind of thing, except
extreme
this is worse.
Extreme Dana Brooke. Wow, that was
rough. Feels a while ago.
That's rough.
Joe Gacy, Schism and Post Schism.
Yep.
And Sammy Guevara, who suffers from the Jericho effect.
He does.
I'll mention Statlander because she basically doesn't have a character and is the only thing holding her back, in my opinion. Because, again, I think she's great.
She's terrific. And just different, too.
Character. She had a title run that meant nothing. And if she had
really
a character,
did.
It could have been something. I think with a good character, she's easily world champion material.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
But I think Jericho has to take this one. The sports entertainer stick in AEW just did not work. It's not even like it was like a satire thing. It kind of started out like that and we were trying to find that, but then it just became this, that is his thing. Like it's not like he's trying to be satire and funny, like this is just your shtick and
that's
sucks.
Right. That's right.
For a little while, like you could argue it like kind of worked, but then it just far overstayed its welcome, which is pretty much Jazz's MO. In 2023, I honestly can't remember how much of the year he did that for, because he switched up from too many times for me to count. He'd be Jazz, which sucked, and Lionheart, then sucked. He'd do Painmaker, which sucked. And then he'd turn face against Cal's for no reason and lost Jazz.
Right.
Which sucked, too, because I don't like him. His character is wildly inconsistent. Guevara's guilty of this, too, but I'm taking Jericho for it because he's the lead and it's his fault. I liked him far less. He reverted back to a bland babyface at the end of the year, which also sucked. I don't care which character you want to pick from him, he sucks.
All of them. Nice. I agree. Statlander lacks any real character. Brooks, what did you call her?
Extreme Dana Brooks.
NXT run was a joke, and then she was released because it was clear they were getting nothing from her.
She's just never been good.
I would argue. I don't understand what TNA thought they needed to grab her, but that's a separate issue.
She should have a hardcore match against Decay or something.
She keeps getting the time she's getting. She'll be a nominee for worst female wrestler for 2024 as well.
I think her existence nominates her for that.
And Gacy, I think, made the most of being saddled with some rough gimmicks.
He does performs the heck out of it. So I will give him credit for that.
But I went with the younger version of Jericho, which is Sammy Guevara here. It's not entirely his fault. He was just flipped from heel to face.
He also almost got away from them, too. Like, I feel like when he joined the cast, there was, like, that glimmer of hope. And I was like,
right.
Yeah, because he's a really good douchebag.
And it seemed like just a drop of a hat. He was back and forth.
I don't know why they don't just have him as that cocky young guy. Because
exactly.
He would be perfect.
And so then it leads you, like, you don't feel like he establishes himself as anything other than he's a small part of a larger group.
I feel like out of the four pillars, he's probably established himself the least, which is saying something, because Jack Perry wasn't even great either, and we already kind of talked about him, but I feel like he was at least trying to establish himself as, like, he was Jungle Boy for a while, and he was being the go-lucky babyface, and then Jack Perry, he was trying to establish himself at least. Like, say what you want about that run, I feel like it was them trying to establish himself.
I agree.
Establish him as this thing.
And Sammy's always just the...
With Guevara, it's like Jazz, and then he's with Ty Conti, and then he's...
He's the talented young guy in the group.
Yeah, he's babyface, then he's heel with Don Callis, now he's back with Jericho, and they're going for the tag titles, and now he's... Like he's
so nothing really connects, and it's just he keeps going back and forth. So he wins it for me.
Yeah, for sure.
Worst weekly TV show.
Raw, Impact, NXT, and Rampage. I feel like Rampage is just like we kind of chuck it in there. Like Rampage is not like a major show, so it's a little different, but
and
it does lack consistency.
We don't watch it, but that's the point, is that there's nothing worth watching on there.
I feel like they could add like lower tier matches.
You could lure me in, but you don't.
There are some interesting ones. Like if it's one of those things where like you got to see what the lineup
we
is.
We cherry pick it. Yes.
Yeah. We cherry pick it like main roster, honestly.
Yeah, that's right.
Or actually even more so, I feel like.
Yeah.
But I didn't watch a single episode of it all year, but the amount of repetitive crap I've seen on Raw this year takes the cake for me. Still an hour too long, a month on end, the Judgment Day would always open on Raw with some segment, and they'd main event against any combination of take your pick from Cody, Rollins, Sami Zayn, and Jey Uso.
Mm-hmm.
Legit, the joke was they main evented in like... every week in some form, sometimes with the same match you'd already seen, and they'd open with some segment. Like, Judgment Day were on Raw way more than the Bloodline were on SmackDown. Like, yeah. It was Judgment Day marathon and way too much.
It was.
Whoever wasn't wrestling would run in on those matches, too. Like, every week, like, Jay's run-in became a meme the way he ran. Like, couple this with the things like JD McDonagh's mistreatment constantly, which I will always advocate for. And Nia Jax's crummy return run, which is also a case for this year. Mm-hmm. And housing most of Theory's mediocre US title run. He did carry it over to SmackDown, but a lot of it was on Raw this year. And much more main roster crap. SmackDown was the better main roster of the show, so I'm going to pick Raw for the worst because I keep tabs on it enough through social media, and that gives me the right to crap on it.
Yeah, I check in with it and watch it here and there, right?
So I think this year it's a little on the upside for sure.
It is.
I think Drew McIntyre one of those ones that I check in on, and then JD McDonagh.
And even Gunther, like, there's stuff I'm interested in.
Yeah, having Gunther.
I think Imperium's really cool right now.
Imperium is cool.
So, yeah, Impact has its share of issues for sure. NXT puts out some rough episodes here and there.
But I feel like you're also, like, they do also put out some good ones.
There's usually a good match or two.
They're never consistent, I feel like.
The segments are probably not as strong. And then Rampage just doesn't really count, so I don't really consider it. And so it is Raw winning this for me. And it likely will keep being Raw as long as it's 3 hours, right? 3 hours is just too long for something like that every week to ask.
For sure.
So I would check in and watch, but there was never enough to convince me that I should invest 3 hours of my life into it. There are segments and stories that are good at times, but then you get that filler. I don't love the WWE in-ring style with some exceptions. So, and commentary, though, all of those things just, it's a product that makes it a chore for me to watch it.
Absolutely.
There's just those details that are different that aren't, I'm not going to get like a absolute killer death match or a technical masterpiece. I'm going to get.
Or even just like exciting matches where you just let them wrestle. Because I feel like, so we had the British Strong Style DIY match of this year, which obviously is not relevant
right, so
here.
More
but
of
like,
that
was just something where I felt like they were just able to go, yes, it was fast paced and really short, but mm-hmm. it was awesome.
And that's just our preference, right? So Raw
like
wins
that
it for
would
me.
Also excite people.
You can't ask me to watch 3 hours of stuff that a lot of it I'm not going to enjoy. So mm-hmm. you win. Congratulations. Now moving on, we're going to worst pay-per-view of 2023.
Pay-per-view Peely, I guess.
If you yes, fair. That is true. We should add that in there.
We got WWE, got Fastlane, SummerSlam, and Payback, and AEW sneaks in there with World's End.
Yeah, that was a disappointing one.
I'm going to mention
sure.
World's End because it was an AEW show we were actually like dissatisfied with.
Yep, the first one where I'm like, I don't love that I paid $55.
It got saved at the end.
Yes.
For sure, but it was a huge disappointment, which usually you can never say about AEW pay-per-views. It ends up being one of their worst. I don't think the worst, because I think there's been some, like, All Out 2020 when Matt Hardy got concussed on the floor.
Right.
But, like, it's up there with the worst ones for them, which is a shame. My worst of the year has to be Fastlane, though. We aren't generally known to enjoy main roster PLEs already, but if it's good, like WrestleMania last year, which was really good.
Really enjoyed it.
Then it's good, and we'll say that. But Fastlane was the opposite. One of the most meaningless events of the year, filled with a bunch of bad or mediocre matches. Looking back on the card for the show, how many of the matches really mattered and they were all boring and paint by numbers? How many of them really had stakes? You could have skipped the show and not miss a thing. Just to recap, the LWO versus what I'll call the Lash Profits was meaningless and predictable as Carlito's late arrival. Because what was it, Ray and like Santos or whatever, and then Carlito came in late.
Yep.
It was done a month later with Orton too. I just realized because he did the late arrival and Morgan. Like, separate these tropes, please. The opener for the tag titles had a questionable result because Cody and Jay won the tag titles for what, 2 weeks?
Right.
And it was boring given the talent involved, like way too slow and boring. Remember that was the one with Balon Priest, and it was just like way too slow.
Yes.
And they didn't really do anything for most of it.
I think my notes were like, still not much has happened.
Yeah. Basically. Knight and Cena versus the Bloodline was super formulaic as well. It was as boring as that match, but with a Cena add-in and then also had no stakes.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't even for titles.
No.
It was just like, why? I don't understand why that was existing. The women's three was fine at best with some clunkiness, and the main event was pretty good, but which was Rollins and Nakamura in the last man standing, but it didn't save the show whatsoever. It was the worst PLE pay-per-view of the year for sure. It was so mid. And
yes.
It was not good.
I agree with pretty much everything. World's End was the worst AEW pay. I think it might be the worst one I've seen. But
I don't think so, because I can think it gets saved.
Even then, it outperformed a couple WWE PLEs. A couple matches from SummerSlam will come back around here.
Absolutely.
So that show wasn't overall wasn't terrible, but there were some lowlights for sure.
It was a lesser SummerSlam for sure.
I actually went back through my notes for your nominees just to see, because we've rated every show, right? And I have like notes of that, records of that. So I went back, and these were my thoughts on Fastlane in the moment. I thought might be interesting because it's my choice as well. We got a title change, I guess, but other than that, nothing was really memorable.
Title change I didn't want.
The tag matches felt copy and pasted, and the first one wasn't very good, let alone the third. The women's match was fine, but clunky at times and not as good as it could have been. The main event was good, but could not save this show. Underwhelming matches, obnoxious commentary, relentless ads and sponsorship
spots. Yes, let's not forget the show at the Pizza Hut ad I already mentioned, so that's another one.
Along with an overall lack of energy made this show really tough to get through.
And notice the same stages too, that all the shows lack personality.
Yeah. So that was it in the moment, and that's pretty much what you were exactly saying here. Mm-hmm. All right, so now we get to worst promotion.
Overall.
Yes.
We got NWA, which we don't even really watch, but I keep tabs on, and we just like their crap because they're so bad.
So for people who think we don't like WWE, we're not even nominating them here.
Yeah, I mean, because they do decent stuff.
Not main roster. We're nominating something else, but
I feel like we could nominate main roster if we're nominating NXT. But it's
you have a special hatred for NXT, though.
That's true.
Yeah. Anyways, carry on.
Well, not less so now, but
yeah,
still. NWA, Impact, MLW, and NXT. I'm gonna just pick NWA to crap on them more. Nothing I see from them on Instagram looks good, and their two world champions for the year were Tyrus and EC3, two highly, and I mean highly,
you were listening to EC3 last night.
Yeah,
I just heard his voice coming
from your
phone.
I hate watching him. He doesn't make sense to me.
I know.
He just confuses me so much, and I don't understand what he's supposed to be. Like, what's this overman thing? It doesn't make sense.
He's over, man.
He's not.
That's the irony. No matter what you say, he'll have some stupid reason as to why it's genius. Mm. Right?
They also have one of the ugliest belts on the face of the planet with their national title. I still would rather hold that than the New Japan TV title, though, which is ugly. Weird. And the tag titles aren't lookers either. They somehow think bringing back the territory system is a good idea in this day and age. And they put on bad received shows like, what's it called, Samhain?
Yes, it was.
I said it right.
Where they're doing drugs on stage and almost getting TV contracts.
That was like their hardcore extreme pay-per-view.
Did they get their TV contract pulled?
I don't think so.
I think it's still
happening. They're on the CW app or something.
That's right.
That was like their hardcore pay-per-view, which I think was about as extreme as Dana Brooke. So
I watched most of it.
Mm. Also, Corrigan was high on Tyrus and signed people like the Slime Balls, who I also hate watching.
Oh, you do.
I've seen that promo like about six times, and I hate it every time. And somehow they caused attention in a good way, which doesn't make me respect you.
No.
Out of all the mainstream promotions, NWA seems to do the dumbest and most questionable shit, and I like to watch them the least.
Fair. I also took them. NWA, other-ish companies have their issues, but NWA is a pretty easy
choice. And their
choice.
In-ring quality just seems so low.
It's like, all the reasons you said. I still check in with it every few weeks, right?
I can't even.
And it's crazy how far they've fallen. Like, when it first came back, that little studio, it was the
power.
Darling of the internet, right?
Yeah, it was hot.
And it was this small studio. They were just letting people speak, and they had some decent, interesting talent. And now it's unwatchable. You're right. EC3 and Tyrus, if those are the choices you're making for the top of the card, well, what hope do we have for anything?
Yeah.
And I think maybe they're having trouble getting talent now. There's more
options. Well, because who wants to go there?
I think I wouldn't if I had any other option.
Plus, they got plucked up guys like Eddie Kingston, LA Knight, Ricky Starks, Aldis. All these guys are gone. Like, those are some guys who made that place watchable for a while. Especially Aldis was like their guy.
And I watch MLW from time to time, and at least there's storylines and groups and people that interest me there. Whereas NWA, I'm like, there's nothing here for me. So yeah, they win. Congratulations. Sure. Moving into tag team worst match of the year.
We got Sting, Darby, and Orange Cassidy versus my boy Kip Sabian and The Butcher and The Blade from Dynamite on March 22nd. We got the aforementioned LA Knight and John Cena versus Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa from Fastlane, and Judgment Day versus Jey Uso and Cody Rhodes from
Fastlane. Yep.
I'll mention the two matches I didn't pick. I would love to pick the Sting match as it's in my nature, but it really wasn't super notable and it was a while ago, so arguably the least offensive match we nominated. Yes, I don't like that Sting's, you know, beating on these three younger guys and he had no sell stuff and all his strikes look super lame, but more so I'm torn between the two Fastlane matches. I'm going to pick Knight and Cena versus Bloodline because while both Fastlane matches were equally boring and formulaic, this one didn't have the shield of being a tag title match. It was completely pointless on top of being not very good. Cena isn't what he used to be, and he's just going to do his normal crap, and it doesn't help matters. Maybe it could have been saved if it was both Usos, but alas, the other one was busy doing so-called better things on the card. So
that's right.
I'm going to go with that.
Yep, that's fair. I disliked each of the Fastlane tag matches I went over at before, but I'm going a different route. I'm picking the Sting Trios match.
I respect that.
It's the only tag match this year, because I always have a document where I put stuff I really like and don't like in the moment. And it's the only tag match that I actually took the time to open that document and put it in there. So from my notes again at that time, I like going back to see what I actually said in the moment. Basic stuff other than Darby with Sting looking especially limited. And then remember
the lame finish where
Sabian waits for
that
like
was stupid.
10 seconds to take a Scorpion death
drop. That pissed me off. Poor Kip Sabian.
So that match was the only one that frustrated me enough to, I made special effort to make note of it. So it wins worst tag match of the year. Now, worst singles match of the year in the female category.
We got Britt Baker versus Taya Valkyrie from Dynamite July 26th, which was a notable one for us because that was a real, that was the real point where like, oh, she's not good
anymore.
Is she good? Because like, it almost made us think Baker wasn't good for a second.
Yeah,
and like, I would mostly blame on Taya because Baker can still go.
She can.
She couldn't even have a good match with Britt. Nope. So. Charlotte Belair, Asuka from SummerSlam, which I know was a major one you didn't like.
Super disappointing. Should have been awesome.
Yeah. We had Revo versus Sky Blue, which was never in danger of being a five star.
Right.
But it was still horrible, which is from Dynamite, November 15th. Bianca Belair versus Alexa Bliss, Royal Rumble, which I think Bliss was like teasing Bray Wyatt things because that's when Bray Wyatt was back, RIP. But right. I don't know. It was stupid. And then Kiana James versus Roxanne Perez from Deadline, Steel Cage match, and the MMA rules match between Rousey and Baszler from SummerSlam. SummerSlam gets on here twice.
Yeah, that's what I meant. There was some rough stuff on SummerSlam.
Honorable mention to Sky Blue versus Red Velvet for being horrible as well, but at least I fully expected it to suck. And to the MMA rules match for being horrible, giving Baszler a big win and then doing nothing with it.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. The same cannot be predicted.
Yeah. Same cannot be said for Baker versus Valkyrie from Dynamite on the day before my birthday. So what a beautiful gift to me. When Taya came to AEW, we were certainly interested because we liked her running impact from what we've seen and hoped she would be a quality addition to the women's division, hopefully bring things up a bit. A series of dud matches later, she left us questioning if she still was good or not.
Nope.
I thought at the very least a match with Baker would bring her reputation back up a bit, but somehow this match managed to suck too. It was slow, felt disjointed at times, not to mention a horribly botched road to Valhalla from Valkyrie where it looked like Baker's just gently dropped.
Yes.
This made me lose hope for Taya and AEW and sustain on Britt's reputation a little as well. So this is definitely my worst women's match of the year, and I'm sorry that Britt has to end up here.
All right, me too. So I say it a lot when doing shows like this, but the profile of the match matters in my calculus.
That's
whatever
part
that
of what
is.
This was for me, because right. I'd love to pick Blue and Velvet, but again, I expected them to suck.
And a bad match on a major PLE is worse
That's
than an
true.
Equally bad match in the middle of a weekly TV show.
That's
right?
True.
For that reason, my worst goes to Charlotte, Belair,
I think you had
Asuka.
A similar reason for the opposite way with Charlotte Ripley, because
yes.
that was a big time one.
And right? It was amazing.
Right.
Right? So this was from SummerSlam, the three of them. So I went back to my notes again, because I feel like that's, instead of trying to remember, right? Somehow felt paint by numbers, rehearsed, yet sloppy all at the same time. Something really off as I was keenly aware that this was three people pretending to have a fight. Slow, low impact at times. Final few minutes better with some nice near falls, but incredibly disappointing and annoying overall. So for that reason, unfortunately, three talented women on a major show with time to shine, I thought were pretty much awful. So that's worst match of the year for me. Now, same award, worst match of the year. But for the male division.
All right. We got the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match from the Rumble. RIP to Bray once more.
Yep.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre Death Match from Dynamite, Fight for the Fallen. Jared versus Mark Briscoe, which is the concession stand brawl from Dynamite, June 21st.
Hated it.
Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Tribal Combat
Boring.
From SummerSlam. There it is. Adam Cole, Jericho, unsanctioned match from Double or Nothing. Disappointing
yep.
as hell. And let's bring him back up. Gable Steveson versus wow. Baron Corbin from NXT's Great American Bash.
Worst of. If we had a human award, might go to him. But anyways.
Honorable mentions to the Tribal Combat match for being slow, boring, and way too long, even by Roman Reigns standards, with a horrible finish to boot, because again, made no sense. And to the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match for being something I still don't fully understand to this day. It did amuse me how insane it was, and Bray's paint. And so Bray's now gone, so I'm not going to pick it.
No need to pile on him.
No need to do that. We all know what it was. The worst match of the year has to be the Texas Chainsaw Massacre death match, which is already a mouthful, from Fight for the Fallen. I hate it for so many reasons, so it takes the cake. On paper, there's no universe where I wanted to watch Jeff Hardy versus Jeff Jarrett in 2023. But then it was made worse by a random, unnecessary, in-your-face sponsorship from a Leatherface game, movie, whatever. The action itself was a boring walk-around brawl for most of the part.
I think my brain blocked this match out, because as you're doing this, I'm like, oh my god, this happened.
It became overcrowded and overbooked with the brawling between factions. Remember they got, like, dumped with Red Viscous?
Yes, it was such a WWE match.
And that was stupid, too. Nothing in the ring really excited. All this was topped off by literal Leatherface coming up to chase off Karen Jarrett. Double J also won a random belt, so... Yeah, horrible from top to bottom.
Oh, man.
Easily the worst match. It was horrible.
It was. Now that you go, I think I may have just blocked that out of my memory, but...
You were lucky.
Mountain Dew match I did remember, and it was awful in my honorable mention.
But it also wasn't that long.
No, it wasn't. But the match that annoyed me even more than that was Tribal Combat for the Undisputed Universal Championship, Reigns and Jey Uso from SummerSlam. So again, my notes... This was an absolute slog. Reigns' style can be hit or miss, and this was a huge miss for me.
I think the one with, like, Sami Zayn really hit, because that one was a lot better, for sure.
I did not think that there was any chance of a title change, so the drama just wasn't there.
Yeah, weren't a lot of people like, oh, this could be when Jay does it, and I'm like, no.
Yeah, exactly. Add in the incredibly slow pace and the sheer length of this, and you get a main event that I really did not enjoy and tried to just survive. All of the drama and excitement from the Reigns-Sammy match was missing from this, and it just dragged on.
And the finish, like, with Jimmy, is stupid.
Yeah. This match makes my list as well for wasting so much of my time with the same formula they have used for months, but with only a fraction of the execution. So again, the stage, it's the main event of one of the big four. In theory,
it's also featuring Roman Reigns.
Lots of storyline behind it, and just was awful to watch.
There was once upon a time at the very beginning of Roman's run where these guys had some good matches. That Hell in a Cell I Quit was really gripping.
Yes, this was not.
No.
So worst match of the year for me. All right, worst faction of the year, as I think we're getting into our final few here.
QTV, gross. I hate that. Almost that genuinely made me lose interest in Hobbs until he joined with Callis.
Yeah.
So that killed Hobbs for me for a while. The Schism, just...
terrible.
No good. The Outcast, we've already talked about.
Yeah, like, we have.
One of my least favorite things ever. Jazz,
talked
same
about
thing.
That.
And The Firm, but they didn't last too long.
No, they're a blip on the radar.
I blocked them out from my memory most of the time.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to Jazz for being boring and helping no one other than Jericho, as well as meeting a mediocre demise. And honorable mention to QTV for, like I said, killing my interest in Hobbs until Don Callis saved him. I mean that quite literally. I think my pick for worst faction... It's impossible for it to be anybody other than the Outcast. This is a group both actively hated week in, week out. I can almost guarantee we complained every time they were on TV, taking up all the women's division's minutes, which are already precious as they are. I did not care about or like the Outcast versus the original storyline in the slightest, which also brought Soho into the faction. Saraya is one of my least favorite wrestlers in AEW that has been prominently featured.
Easily.
Spray paint was lame, didn't deliver any great feuds or matches, good matches at best, but even then, not thanks to their group or storyline. I'd argue they brought the division down last year, and I'm glad they're largely in the rearview mirror. They were so bad, Tony Storm needed a complete character overhaul to get past them, and even then, I hate that too.
Yeah, the women's division needs some help there. And you're right. Like, this
they
just took up all
hard.
Of the time for the women's division.
Yeah.
Everything was around that. A lot of strong candidates here. I can't disagree with your choice for exactly what you said. But since I'm the NXT guy here...
I don't know how you can go worse than the Outcast.
I went different. I went Schism. And there's a bit of my rationale here is that, one, this faction got a ton of time on weekly TV and featured a performer nowhere near ready to be on TV. We talked about Ava being in there. But... it's like the part that bugs me
is people working under her as GM, they're just going to forget she was in like the spooky cult faction.
Yes. And like lesser versions of three people who in other circumstances can be good, right? So it's like you're misusing three quarters at least, I would say all of them, because Ava shouldn't have been on TV at all. Mm. Like Grizzled Young Veterans are awesome. And this was so bad that they asked for their release.
Looking back,
right?
I could honestly, since they renamed them and everything, I could compare GYV in the Schism to Butch.
Basically,
it was basically the same
strip
thing.
Away everything good about them, right? And just make them bland and boring. And then Gacy, say what you will, I think he's fine in ring. I don't mind him wrestling. And he puts his everything into what you give him. It's just this stuff was not good.
Imagine this group if Harland was still here.
And it was every week it seemed to be on. There was just no way to salvage it. And it obviously just disappeared and disbanded as it should have. So it wins worst faction for me as the NXT representative in this group. So now we move on to worst tag team of the year.
We got Hardys, Lethal, and Jarrett, the Golden Jets. I think they deserve a mention for sure. Decay, Hit Row, and the Dyad.
Not due to ability in brackets after that. Like, they're good, but for everything I just said.
Yeah. Honorable mention to Lethal and Jarrett for the tag title shots I didn't want them to have, but I like half the team in the ring, so they get a pass here. Cannot say the same for the Hardys. The Hardys are getting it. They're not passable at this day and age in wrestling. They don't cut it. Multiple notable clips of them, in particular Jeff, botching things, boring lackluster promos, Matt being more borderline immobile, bringing down Isaiah Cassidy, especially Ethan Page. Ethan Page has been relegated to ROH now. And participating in matches like the lame firm deletion, which I legitimately blocked out from my memory, and the aforementioned Texas Chainsaw Massacre match. Land them as the worst. Thankfully, they aren't on as prominent as they want to be, but Jeff still manages to resurface this year. But they were prominent enough to earn this award because they are horrible.
They are awful. They were my biggest regression, right? So it's not a surprise to see them here again. Pretty easy for me, and it'll be a unique one since Jack doesn't watch TNA. But every time Decay come on my screen, I audibly groan. Everything from like the spooky vibe and going into supernatural realms and stuff to the presentation to their in-ring work. I don't think either of them are particularly good in-ring. Rosemary's one of those, like, she knows how to do some moves, but I wouldn't say she knows how to wrestle. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Natalia. Their spookiness fits in with nothing else on the show, right? They're like this only thing, and they just constantly return. It's inevitable since there are not really tag teams, right? What other three right now?
I don't know why that division's even existing.
I don't either. So this group tried something new for parts of 2023, right? Where they went with Jessica and Courtney
Rush.
Right. But it was bad for different reasons. And then they just became Decay kind of overnight again. So I struggle to watch them every time they appear. So they win this award. It's one thing if TNA wants to improve its overall presentation, bang for your buck is disband this, give them something else to do or nothing to do. So yes, they win for me. Next category, second last category, penultimate category, if you will, is worst female wrestler of the year.
I got to go back up.
And someone's at our door, so that's what I'm trying to figure out.
Oh, interesting. Who's at the door?
I don't know.
Nominees, we got Anna Jay, Sky Blue, Saraya, Ty Valkyrie, Indy Hartwell, and Ronda Rousey. I don't want to mention Ronda Rousey. Her last run sucked balls. An honorable mention to the regressing Tyre Valkyrie, the master of the Thigh of Doom, Anna Jay.
Thigh of Doom.
I really wanted to pick one of those two, but I ended up going with Saraya for how high she was on the card and in the division, how much they really tried with her. She really sucked. She came in as a horribly miscast babyface that backfired so hard they had no choice to turn her heel in the outcast. But unfortunately for her and everybody watching, especially me, that was not an improvement by any means. As previously mentioned multiple times, they were one of my least favorite parts of AEW TV all mm-hmm. year. She's arguably the worst part of the group. Her reign was random. Her title reign was random, short, and completely unwelcome. She didn't have any good matches. And while Dynamite women's matches don't tend to be amazing, she's high profile, so we need better.
We do need better. And one compliment I'll give Saraya is...
she's gone.
She made this category easy pick. Because sometimes we're struggling to find nominees and winners. This was easy for me. So much like the prominence of bad matches, elevating the badness, like I talked about earlier, the attention and focus a wrestler gets makes them worse, right? So for this reason, Saraya wins the award pretty easily. I felt like they were kind of tout her as like the female Punk on her arrival, right? And then
which is not a good comparison for me.
Everything she did after that was disappointing, at least, or to downright bad, right? Add in the fact that, like you were talking about, the Outcasts were basically the only thing that got any consistent time for women on Dynamite. This was not a tough decision for me. To be fair, the stuff that was written for the Outcast wasn't good, but I don't think Saraya did anything in-ring or presentation-wise. So seemed like AEW kind of noticed too, right? Because they seemed to pull the plug pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Or suddenly, maybe not quickly.
After that random title run, just kind of fizzled out.
So she's out of the spotlight now, thankfully. That was an easy choice. Saraya is the worst female wrestler.
For sure.
The big award now, the last big one, the worst male wrestler of the year.
Worst wrestler of the year. Nominees, we got CM Punk, naturally, Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wardlow, makes sense. Omos, Austin Theory, and Von Wagner.
Yes, that's a star-studded lineup there.
Yes. I'd really like to pick Punk, but if I'm being real, he missed two decent sized chunks of the year, and a lot of my hate for him comes outside of the ring.
Yes.
He's just not good in the ring, but most of my dislike is not to do with his abilities.
He's definitely not as good, but he's not the worst either.
No great match from him, but we saw a lot worse, so I gotta go with the more logical pick, regrettably. Also, big honor I'll mention to Jericho, because he might get his this year, if I'm being honest.
He might.
If he keeps up his current trajectory, it could happen.
Or he might get one in a couple minutes.
In a couple minutes.
Have you not seen mine? You haven't read my choice, obviously.
I
haven't.
I guess that makes sense. My pick for worst of the year has to be Wardlow. Ever since the split with MJF, they tried so many times with him. And at first it worked, but then it's just been so stop-start with his TNT title runs. It's already started to falter in the first one. The last 2 years, I've seen my opinion on him decrease more and more by the month. This year, he won the TNT title back from Samoa Joe, who's in the fantastic King of TV run that was underutilized. King of TV was awesome.
It was fun.
I mean, he's doing great now, but like, I still wonder what they could have done with King of TV. Then he proceeded to lose to Hobbs 3 days later before unnecessarily winning it back again. Like, that could have helped Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. In 2023, they also did the same thing they did in 2022. That started to tank his run, which was the meaningless squash matches for a champion. I was relieved when Christian took the title off of him on the first collision. I did not miss him whatsoever, to the point where I was actually annoyed when he came back. Like, he was gone and he showed up random times. I'm not just like, ugh. You know, I was
the opposite of how you're supposed to feel.
I was legit annoyed when he came back. It was just more squash matches too, except they introduced the death by powerbomb shtick. And I just think he's not capable of much anymore. Is he had routine promos, routine matches. Can't remember the last time he summoned a non-squash match, let alone a good one. This year he did have a decent one with Trent, which I actually liked that it wasn't what I'm complaining about. But in terms of 2023, his promos have gotten his routines and smashes. Like I said, he bores me. The fact that they want to push him as a main eventer actively makes me less enthused about the main event picture overall. Even his recent inclusion in a new faction led by Adam Cole, of all people, does not get me interested in him.
It does not.
And that is how much they've deteriorated him for me. He's all around bland and someone I'd be fine with going elsewhere.
Congratulations, Wardlow. Yes. My choice is different.
I like your pick, though.
He gains or loses, depending on your perspective, marks for his constant visibility compared to some of the rest on this list. For me, the winner is Jericho. Much like Decay, you and I, like, I have a larger sample size because it's you as well. We start to groan when he comes on the screen. And he was my literal favorite wrestler in the world for years. I loved him in early WCW when he first got there. And now I like his time on TV to interest ratio is really, really low for me.
Almost like Hardy's level.
And then made worse because nobody that is in his orbit comes away looking better. And by now, that's a pretty big sample size because we've seen a lot of people like him, quote unquote, help them, work with them, whatever.
He's actively like, even, I don't know, it doesn't matter again, but like this year he made Takeshita look worse.
Right. He seems like a guy who overestimates his value, and like no one has the guts to tell him that he's not really adding anything to the product at this point, and he should just go on hiatus.
Which
or
he's
something.
Supposed to be good at. We keep saying it. Like he's always done this. He's supposed to be good at going away and reinventing himself, and now he can't.
No,
so, I feel like now his definition of reinventing is just switching to one of his three gimmicks that he interchanges now.
Right.
Jericho, he's Lionheart, he's Painmaker.
I know, and all of it is just, it's too much. He's constantly there. I have no time. Can you go check the door quickly? Yeah. I know this is awkward.
I mean, aren't we almost done?
Yeah, I'll wrap up while you run up because they're literally ringing the doorbell.
All right.
So anyways, that is going to wrap up our
Toodles.
Worst of 2023. Jack's taken off a minute early here. We'll be back. Not sure when it'll be, but it will be the flagship episode 191. So look for that coming out anytime soon. We hope to see you there for that. And until then, everybody, take care.